You know, they have no idea. So, you know, it's certainly not one contact. And we got to understand that awareness is a phase. We got to get them aware of who we are. Lots of salespeople get blown out of the water before they even get through the awareness phase. How could that happen, Melissa? What do you think about that Chinese girl that was asking me, I want.
Pushy.
Could she get blown out in that awareness phase? Mm-hmm. Calling a customer 15 times in one day? Mm-hmm. Banging on his door, you know, going around the back, you know, all this kind of stuff? She could get thrown out of the account literally, but certainly mentally the customer could say, I'm never going to buy from this person. Absolutely. So we could get blown out in the awareness phase. Then the customer has to go through some kind of a feasibility study. The feasibility study is, I'm using this product now, and I might want to look at what Garrett's got. So I got to think about it. And that's fine. Now, some sales trainers say, hey, if a customer says he wants to think about it, you need to say to the customer, well, what do you need to think about, Sharon? Why don't you sign right here, and we'll get this thing in here, you know? I think it's better to say, hey, yeah, thinking about it is a good idea. Would it be all right if I were to call you back in, let's say, 2 weeks? Would that be okay with you? You know, I want customers that are going to think about it. Absolutely. So no problem. You're not going to force a customer in a relationship developing situation to make a decision without thinking about it. You're just going to get them angry at you, and you're not going to do business with them. Then they're likely to look at some kind of an alternative, because if they're going to switch from what they're doing now to something else, they want to look at alternatives. So you can't just, you know, put your feet up and say, hey, you know, I got this thing coming along. He's in a purchase cycle. He's going to choose me, because they're going to start looking at alternates. So you need to make sure you stay on top of that customer and do a better job than your competitors are going to do, because they're going to look at alternatives. Then they're going to put funding together, and it may be that, hey, I can't afford to buy a new car this year. So, you know, but I'll wait till I get my refund, or I get this or that, or whatever happens towards the end of the year, maybe the early part of next year. So we need to understand that they may have to put some time together to get the funding together before they actually take the action. So there's a process there. Anywhere along the way, you can fall off the wagon by not staying with the customer. So we need systems so we can stay in touch with these customers. We're going to talk a lot about the systems as we go along. Let's move over now to page page 12. These are some of the systems that we got to have in place. What are these systems? Well, we can send them a fax from time to time. And there are programs, WinFax Pro. You can fax something right out of your computer, and I'd be happy to show you how this works. I'm sure you could do it yourself, probably. A lot of computers come with fax programs. You have to have a phone line connected to your computer if you're going to send a fax, because it's got to dial a number up. You got to get permission from the customer that it's okay to send you a fax. You know, is it, Susan, would it be all right if, you know, we do different programs on a regular basis. Can I have your permission to send you a fax from time to time? What's the best fax number for me to send to you then? You know, so you get some permission, you just make a note of it so nobody can sue you over it. Now, I don't know, I've never personally been sued, but we send out thousands of faxes, and that's a good thing. Email, you know, there's blast email programs that I could tell you what they are, but in Outlook you could set up little mail things, and I've got a thing. You know, I used to send the emails to, you know, this person, my son, you know, my brother, you know, friends, and I had this big list of all these people, and I thought, God, that's horrible. So you can set up a little thing called My Friends, or the gang, and that would go to you. And then there's a BCC, which is a blank. BCC is blank copy, carbon copy, and you put all your contacts in that. And in Outlook, you can send out an email, then nobody knows. All they see is our gang, or whatever you want to call it there, and they can't tell that you sent it to thousands of others or whatever. So that's a nice thing to have if you can get people's emails. So that's a good thing. You know, telemarketing, calling them, you know, having your boss call them, you know, that's helpful from time to time. You know, bringing them in, having a newsletter. Let me ask you, Garrett. If I told you I wanted you to send a newsletter out to your customers, would that be frightening to you?
Yes.
It would, huh? How about to you, Sharon? Would that be frightening?
No.
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 Where would you get the information, Susan, to put in your newsletter?
From your company.
Well, you could.
Or what you're offering to them.
Yeah. You could get some help from your company, mm-hmm. but anybody can send out a newsletter. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. You just have to have a few things on your email newsletter.
Things that are going on.
Things that are going on, a picture of you, you know, my progress at golf, or whatever. You know, I think that newsletters have to be informational and not sales-oriented. Now, it's okay if I have five things down there. Melissa and Susan went to John Mitchell's Inside Sales Excellence Program. You know, that's informational. And we think better customer service skills or whatever. You know, not that we didn't have that before, you know, but we're better maybe or whatever. And, you know, that's a piece of information.